In astrophysics, dark matter is a theoretical form of matter that doesn't have enough electromagnetic radiation to be discerned by telescopic observation, but can be suggested from various gravitational effects. It's also a metaphor for a motion picture starring Meryl Streep and Aidan Quinn. It is safe to say that Ms. Streep and Mr. Quinn theoretically exist, but were not observed directly by our young roving correspondent. Indeed, it should be noted that while setting up, our young roving correspondent was kicked out of a hotel suite because Aidan Quinn needed to occupy it. But we never did see Mr. Quinn enter the room. Theoretically, he may have been there. Therefore, we must apply a theoretical construct that these two actors will always be observed in motion pictures, but never observed in reality. We did, however, manage to speak to a few other nifty people behind this film.
Okay, so I am here with filmmaker Shi Zheng Chen and Li Yu, if I'm correct, the actor in Dark Matter.
Liu Ye, just say Li.
Yu Li, okay. Well, how are you two gentlemen doing?
Doing good.
First off, I wanted to sort of ask you, Shi, about the stairwells throughout this film. We see the character frequently go up and go past stairwells, and at the end of the film, before he commits his particular act, we see him walk along this brick wall, and there's actually a barren stairwell there where a stairwell used to be. I wanted to ask you, first of all, about this notion of stairwells throughout this particular film. In fact, a lot of the camera angles are based around the idea, the concept of stairwells. So how did this come about?
Well, I look at this Utah, you know, one of the universities. I thought, you know, Liu Ye playing the character, it's an uphill battle, trying to be understood by his professor, trying to get to what he wanted. It feels like always climbing.
Yeah.
So when you are down, you're like descending to hell. So and I was really, to me, trying to shoot it through still. Well, so I'm glad you catched.
Well, this. The brick wall, I mean, in particular,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's a sort of harsh surface. I mean, the being a foreign student is a bit to struggle to be strive ahead. I think it's the environment isn't easy. So that, you know, I've chosen this kind of cement. Kind of a rudimentary kind of a college doesn't have any warmth. You know, it's a lot of metal and a cement and brick structure. I think that sort of tells you about the kind of experience he had.
What steps did the two of you take to work in terms of the character in relation to the environment? I mean, maybe you, Lou, can talk about, did you bone up on string theory throughout this? Or did you do any kind of reading into the actual life of the Iowa State University this was actually based upon? Or was it largely intuitive? Did you keep him essentially isolationist? What steps did you take?
It's more the last one. It's the isolation. It's the intuitive. It's really about how to make a fiction out of it, not so much based on any of that.
Before shooting, I come to, before shooting 2 weeks, I come to America to try that student the heart. And myself, I from Chinese North, go to Beijing to cosmology. This movie, the student.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah, I wonder though if you boned up on math in any way, because I mean, there's this speech that you deliver in this wonderful blue cosmological environment, and I wanted to ask you, because it seems to me that environment was very much as much of a factor in this. We were talking about the brick walls earlier, but also the notion of this speech about the dark matter up in the air. I mean, aside from visiting the States, was environment a factor for you toward getting the topographical bearings of this character? That's kind of what I'm asking.
然后天体物理学自己以前没有看过，然后。 稍微找了一些书，大概了解了一下具体是怎么回事。
So yes, I did do some of my own kind of investigative, and I picked up a few books and tried to study, you know, these scientific topics.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of books, I want to ask you. I mean, the Meryl Streep character, Joanna Silver, bears a striking resemblance to Joanne Beard, who wrote, of course, The Fourth State of Matter. And I'm wondering, in terms of secondary materials, whether this was intentional. I mean, the Joanna Silver character seems to have more money than Joanne Beard did, and I want.
Well, I don't. First of all, I don't know Joanna Beard.
Oh, okay.
And I know a lot of Joanna in New York, and there's a lot of people rich related, interested in Chinese culture, studying Tai Chi, trying to speak a few words of Chinese to me in my world. So that's where the Joanna character come from.
Okay.
It's just people who, you know, thought China is an exotic country, exotic culture that, you know, always fascinated about things like Chinese.
Because there was a very famous essay written in the New Yorker based off of the Iowa State Massacre that was also reprinted in the Best American Essays that was written by Joanne Beard, and here you had a sort of Joanna Silver character, so I didn't know if there was any overlapping, I mean, in terms of the Gong Li scenario, but in terms of the idea of there being overlapping characteristics upon this film, or is this really not meant to be something that is rooted in a real...
It's not rooted for the real events. Real events was the starting point of making a movie. I think most of the characters you see is most friends of mine who have come to this country, who have experienced a different life. And is it meant to tell the stories I know, not the story of Lu Gan?
Do you think that there's a certain risk that some American audiences might misperceive this particular movie in relation to the Virginia Tech massacre? Or?
No, I don't think so, because it is about a Chinese particular story about the ambitious, intelligent Chinese man who come here, want to succeed in America, and has nothing to do with any of other school campus violence, because you cannot put a kind of generalization or kind of a category about it because it's Asian. Asia is a whole huge, you know, sort of continent. You cannot sort of just say, oh, it's about school violence, therefore they're the same. And that's the racist comments to me, and that I don't think people should automatically relate to any of this instance. I think you should look at it as a story of immigrants who had high expectation, how they negotiated between the dreams and the reality. That's what I'm interested in about this story.
I agree with you, and I'm wondering, though, if that is the case, if this massacre was the starting point. I mean, there's a good deal of drama in the first part of this movie. I mean, you have, of course, he's trying to come up with this theory, and he's also, likewise, you have, of course, the five elements of the Chinese horoscope and the like. So there's a lot going on in terms of him trying to adapt. You have a considerable amount of American indoctrination. You have, for example, Amazing Grace being sung in Chinese and the like. And I wanted to ask you, did this come from your operatic background, that you need to have this great launching point at the end?
Well, no, I think the tragedy always shakes you, and they also make you realize the value of life. I think for foreign students, they are non-entity. They just come here to study. They never really regard as human. I think I was very shocked about the actual event when I was at NYU as a graduate school student. I want to share that kind of same kind of a shock with the audience. And this, everybody says when tragedy happens, they don't see it. They don't see why that comes. You know, they have no idea that it is coming. It's always afterthought. So I think this is powerful in a sense that it's why it happened. If this could be prevented, this would never happen.
Gotcha. Okay. A question for Lou in terms of one very intimate scene in this movie with Meryl Streep, in which your character plays a salesman and has to really exchange this very intimate moment when we have seen all along this sort of shyness throughout. You're dealing with a great actor here that you have to play off of, and yet you're also dealing with this notion of being an isolated character. What step did you take to sort of collaborate with Meryl for this, because on one hand you have to be intimate, on another hand you also have to be detached. How did you negotiate that particular realm?
你跟 Meryl 合作的时候，你有什么感受？就是说，因为你的这个角色呢，这部电影呢，其实 是有点孤独的、孤单的。然后，那你怎么样跟这个 Mirror 合作？但秀出来就是说，其实你是孤独的，但是你跟他合作上面，就是在有这个在荧幕上面有这个非常好的一个交流。
对，跟 Mirror 合作，怎么讲？因为这电影里边，我角色确实是孤独孤单的。然后 Mirror 他是在这电影里边是这个男孩的一个心理上的一个支撑。或者是他心理上的一个像家一样的一个是给他力量给他原因的这么一个这样一个角色。然后这男孩对 Mary 演的角色更多对着 Joanna 可能更多的可能是依赖情感上的一种依赖。然后在戏里边我觉得Meryl 他是一个，当然是一个大明星，然后是一个特别有经验的一个演员。然后在我们俩在对手戏的时候，他会我们俩在试的时候，他会想各种各样的办法，怎么让我们的关系在心理上能够更拉近。他给了我很多帮助。
I think in several scenes together with myself and Meryl, you know, she tries to lead me to connect on a more personal level, and I really appreciated that. And I think you're right that the character is very lonely, and Meryl's character presents almost like a home and comfort and a reason. And for me, I just had to dispense really my emotions when playing this character.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's one moment I wanted to ask you about, Shi, in terms of Meryl sitting at the table on the floor just after she has learned some Chinese. There's a particular moment with Meryl that I was fascinated by because she is essentially scratching her face, but there's something she's doing with her hands in which it's kind of vaguely stilted. And I wanted to ask you how this particular mannerism came about. I found that to be quite interesting.
You know, Meryl is a master of detail. I mean, she's not those overrated dramatic actor trying to do these huge emotional moments. But each time you take on her performance, she always had a little bit interesting gesture. When you add it, you know, most moments, she's just come this moment that is not trying to look beautiful, pretty. She tends to do a lot of little things, scratch her hair and, you know, put her nose and then, you know, hands with a tea and, you know, with a piece of paper. And you sort of just watching her and trying to get what she gave you. I mean, it was something that she so well prepared, the first take on it. You always get something when you look at it later.
Yeah, the thing that struck me about that scene is that there is that table, and everything below the table seems a little sort of stilted, and the camera's sort of just like in this medium-long shot. And I don't know if you were trying to sort of, I guess, maybe throw Meryl off of this particular scene, or if you wanted to convey something about this table surface, essentially splitting this action between being natural, the what she was doing in terms of scratching her face, playing with her hair, and then her hands just beneath the table.
Well, I thought the marriage between, you know, Meryl's character and her husband was sort of a working process, you know, it's still working relationship. Where Liu Ye's character was also kind of working relationship. So I shot a scene in the same, the same table that's where he sells cosmetic stuff. It was the same place. I repeated scenes with her and her husband, and repeated the same location with her and Liu Ye's character. So to trying to make audience remember what is there, you know, I mean, transparency is always interesting. That's why this glass table, this glass door and glass frame throughout all the scenes there. I mean, I'm always curious about what do you see, what do you don't see, what's in the surface of the table, what do you see underneath of the table. And that most of the scenes are shot through the table, also shot through the window. Mm-hmm. If you notice, it's like a screen, Japanese screen.
Yeah.
And that's all part of a conscious of composition as a part of the conceiving process. And most of the things are captured. I mean, we had very little time. You run through the line, you cut the line, and you shoot.
Yeah.
It might have an hour or so, we do a scene for 2 hours, and then that's gone, then you move on.
Gotcha.
So,
well, and also the Lawrence Fane character, which we haven't talked about, how he is essentially being corrupted by this American influence. He changes his first name to Lawrence. There was the American version, of the, rather the Amazing Grace sing in Chinese. There's the whole idea of him essentially selling out to get the Gelman Prize, and I wanted to ask how this character came about.
Well, I had a friend called himself Lawrence, changed his name. This is a really friend of mine who refused to speak Chinese to me, even with or without American around. On the phone, he would force himself talking in English. I thought he must be some way ashamed to be his origin, ashamed of himself. You know, really want to be recognized as American. I think there are people, you know, cut the limb to fit a society. It's such a tragedy. So I want to make a kind of example as a contrasting character with Liu Xun's character who come here to pursuing a dream without compromise, where somebody try everything to compromise the origin to be fitted, to even delete the soul to be part of society. I think this is a very beautiful contrast together with the character.
Well, there's also a contrast with Reiser as well, because there's, again, this corruptive influence of, oh, well, let's go ahead and smoke cigars in the kitchen. Let's go ahead and here's a martini. You can go ahead and you need to learn these particular rules. And yet, you know, and the whole, like, hey, I'm Jake, you know, call me Jake throughout. I wanted to ask maybe from both from you as from a directive standpoint and also from an acting standpoint, the form of seduction here that was going on, because here you are being part of the old boys club, and yet you can't actually go ahead and announce your grand theorem in terms of string theory and dark matter and the like, you know?
Well, I think I've been, you know, I worked a lot last 20 years in Europe, in America, and I'm sort of the only Chinese director around these opera houses. So I'm always very conscious about how I deal with people who are head of opera houses or what they're head of institution. I think some of this comes through Jake's character, you know, hypocrisy of America, of what they say and what they're doing. It's just, it's ironic. You know, Americans talk about human rights, that they have the worst human rights records of, because of your own abuse and not Americans. It doesn't matter, is it?
Yeah.
You know, so I was just thinking about this, and I thought it would be interesting to have this kind of character. You know, the idea of a democracy is so strong, you're supposed to do anything you wanted. But in reality, the execution of it is so short-handed, you know. So I think that makes this very interesting. I mean, Liu Yin, should talk to him. He and, Adam was very, they hit it on very well in the first scene, and they seems very comfortable to playing this mentor and the student's role. And Liu Yin played a little bit, you know, pleasing the professor kind of thing, to be humble, bowing, you know, nice to professor, that thing. I think that just worked. I mean, the scenes, smoke cigar was, we rehearsed on that spot in the kitchen table. And just behind the window, looks like you only needed one shot to do it, and you do.
Yeah, going to this also this idea of windows, I wanted to actually ask you about the role of television in this. I mean, there's of course the mantra from China is essentially, I can't believe that people in America spend 30 hours a week watching TV, that the kids grow up there. But you also have this very interesting moment, that the induction moment when they actually enter this apartment is trying to get this signal of a porn movie through the television screen. And there's also this concentration upon the hallways that, again, going back to the whole stairwell motif that I opened this up with. And I wanted to ask you about just the notion of reflective surfaces in this. I mean, it seemed to me that television is the ultimate reflective surface, and it's the ultimate induction. It's been called by many sort of the kind of artificial fire, but I wanted to ask you, I mean, was it television really that just seemed to me the true smoking gun of corruption here? Or, I mean, this scrambled signal that you're trying to sort of make sense of, that's a very intriguing visual symbol, I think.
Well, it's also, you know, with all this hype about modern communication, at the same time, what we're getting is the most shallow information.
Yeah.
So you get the Chinese student is interested about an American porn movie. You get the Americans interested in, you know, the Chinese, the Tai Chi. I mean, that's our stereotype. I mean, this is, you know, for 21st century, I think, you know, understanding has to go a little bit further than what we're assuming what the Chinese is or what the American is to both culture. I think that, you know, TV just become a filter through those things, you know, mass media. You learned it. You know, like nowadays I go to China audition, singers, all they sing is Britney Spears' old hit. It's 10 years later, you know, they still, there's a certain kind of sense of what the information they get. Do they American think that British beer is the best export to American culture, or it just ironically somebody picked up?
Some dude.
Some. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't dig on that. I mean, so this is interesting to me how, you know, information changing hands. You know, it's very interesting. Hallways is always interesting because you're passengers. You don't have a residence. So I think the students is a passenger. They don't live here. Yeah. They're passing through university. They never be a part of a university.
Yeah. One last question. I wanted to actually ask you about the five Chinese elements, the metal, water, wood, fire, and earth, how this came about. And did this essentially cause the tone of the film to be changed in each of these things? Were you intended to sort of trying to recreate a five-year cycle through this, the five-year cycle of the student going off to college?
I was trying to create a cycle of life.
Yeah.
And that the tone of the emotion changes with the symbol. Yeah. So without doing linear chronological order, so you can get a way to divide the five chapters of his life in different temperament, in different temperature, and also to bring some Chinese science in the thoughts of Western science as well.
Did Liu's performance change based off of those five signs too?
No. Well, that was added in the post-production.
Oh, okay.
And that was not...
No effect?
No. It has nothing to do with how he performed.
Okay. Well, I know we're out of time, but thank you both very much for taking the time out to talk. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing but blue.